Thank you. Please be seated. There's so much wrapped up, isn't there, in the name of Jesus. There's so much about his story that we're still discovering, I guess, because we're eager to learn more about him, and the Holy Spirit continues to teach us more about his name and what it means for us as well. And the difference it makes when we share that, when we share his name, when we share his love, when we serve one another in love as well. And that's one of the joys of being together, isn't it? That we have a chance to make a difference to other people's lives. And they're waiting for you to make a difference to their lives as well, to have that conversation, to have that prayer from you. And that's why it's so good to link up in smaller groups, to have conversation over coffee, to do those sorts of things, to make time to hear those stories and to stand alongside them and help people discover the fresh news about Jesus as well. Just to also say, the prayer room is sort of open whenever the building's open, whenever things are going on. If you want to just pop in at any time and use the prayer room after a Sunday morning, during any of the times that you're here, then please do make use of it. It's a lovely space, and it will be continue to be developed there, but please feel free to come and sit and enjoy that space as we move through this year as well. Well, the story of Jesus is here for us, isn't it, in the Gospels. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew is a little bit of a quirky gospel in terms of the fact it's different from what's called the other synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke. He comes from a different perspective. He starts from a different starting place. And if you've had a look at the gospels, you'll see that Matthew starts in chapter 1 with this great genealogy of Jesus, when he traces Jesus right back to Abraham to give him that sort of very much a grounded historical place in our story. Matthew also highlights the story of Joseph, particularly, that the other Gospels don't, that Luke doesn't in particular, in chapter 1 again, where Joseph accepts Jesus as his son and has a particular encounter with the angel in that as well. And then in chapter 2, he tells us this story, which again, Luke doesn't mention. Mark doesn't have any birth narratives anyway. So again, just something unique to Matthew's story and why he wants to tell this and why he wants to help us understand who Jesus is. So Matthew chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles or you've got it on your phone, switch it on and we'll look at this. So chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." Which strikes me as to, they knew it, but they didn't do anything about it. It always strikes me as one of those missed opportunities for these people. "But this is what the prophet says. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Keep your text open, and we'll explore that in a moment. I don't know whether you've had a chance to look back at the presents that you received for Christmas, have you? Have you forgotten them already, or are they bringing you great joy and inspiration? If the person next to you bought them, just tell them, oh, it's an absolute joy. I loved it. Thank you so much for giving it to me. I don't know what I'd done before getting it. But when you look back at your presents, I always think, did I get what I wanted? Did I get what I needed? Or did I get something I didn't know I wanted or needed? Well, it was the latter category for me, which is called a surprise, I guess, of getting something that I didn't know I wanted or needed. But it's going to come in very handy, I assure you. But when it comes to God's gift of Jesus, is he what you wanted? Is he what you needed? Or is he someone you didn't know you wanted or needed? As we say at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, he has this story of Joseph, of the Magi, and of the escape to Egypt. And I think what Matthew is doing in this early part of his good news account of Jesus is helping to answer some fundamental questions about Jesus that perhaps at times we all ask about ourselves as well, and certainly people around us will ask about themselves. Where do I come from? Who am I? What am I doing here? And how can I be fully human? I don't know whether you've ever paused long enough to ask those questions, but I think those are questions certainly for this generation and for many generations, of getting to points where we start to think, where do I come from? Who am I? What am I doing here? And how can I be fully human? Because those are questions of origin. And I know some of you are good at tracing your family tree. Why do you do that? Well, you want to find out where you come from. Or you want to find out if there's any money that you're owed or something like that, or any notoriety that you would dine out on many, many times. So we want to find out where we've come from. We want to ask questions of identity, that who am I? Because there are times in our lives when I think all of us will ask, who am I? You know, we get to a point sometimes in a workplace or in a family situation or a crisis where we want to try and find out that fundamental issue of who am I really? Then there's the question of purpose. What am I doing here? And maybe in your life you've had those moments where you've stopped for a moment and thought, so what is next? What is my real purpose here? You may be doing something for a long time, then suddenly something happens, forces you, maybe something, and you're not quite sure, there's confusion about it. So you start thinking, what am I doing here? And then there's the issue of meaning. Yeah, does my life have any meaning? Can I be fully human? And for those of us that are followers of Jesus, and we look back to Genesis, we see what fully human really means in the creation of Adam and Eve. We see what fully human means when they walked in the garden with God before the fall. That's what I think fully human really looks like. In relationship with the Creator, the perfect relationship that has dealt with everything else that gets in the way. So I think those are the questions that often there's a curiosity about it. Kids are curious, aren't they? Then you love kids when they want to know why all the time, don't they? They get to that stage of continuing to ask why. And then when we get a bit older, we stop asking the questions and we sort of move through life without perhaps sometimes too much thought. It was curiosity, of course, that got Adam and Eve into trouble. And the Bible tells us this long journey, this long, long journey to rediscover that relationship with the Creator God, who longs for the whole of creation to find its way home again. And I think that's what we need, to rediscover that sense of relationship, who we are, why we're here, how to be fully human again, where do I come from? It's what we want as well, desperately. If we have those moments when we are just sat alone, I think it's what we long for more than anything. And for some people, it's that lovely surprise that they didn't know they wanted or needed, and yet they encounter God through the presence of his Spirit as well. And I think that's what the coming of Jesus was able to give us all. And I think Matthew, not only setting Jesus right at the heart of the Jewish story, the story of the Old Testament, it still helps us centuries later, sat here today, to understand who Jesus really is. Matthew tells us that Jesus was a child. Matthew chapter 1, 21 to 23. She will give birth to a son, the angel says, and you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus. And they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You're going to give birth to a son. Jesus is a child, but Jesus is also a king. Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 2 that we read. Magi from the east came to Jesus. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? There's a recognition that here is someone much more than just a child as well. Although a child, he's a king. But also Matthew tells us he's a refugee as well. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Here's this child, this king, this refugee. Here's the heart of who Jesus truly is. Here's the heart of someone who we can connect with in the light of who he is and the questions that we have. See, I think the identity of Jesus gives us an identity. It gives us meaning to our story. It helps us to rediscover the purpose for our lives again. It gives us that opportunity to truly encounter this Jesus, the child, the king, the refugee. Some of you in 2023 have celebrated, I don't know if we've got any new parents in the room, but new grandparents in the room as well. You've welcomed little children and blessed them. We've done that here in our stage, and we've looked at them and we've wondered, who do they look like, first of all, and what will they become? We're longing to know what their story is going to be, and we're going to be part of that story. It's that origin. Where do I come from? And here's Jesus, the child born to be God with us. Jesus said in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In Colossians 1, Paul writes these amazing words, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the ultimate imago Dei, the very image of God. And of course, we too are made in the image of God. That's our identity. That's our origin. That's where we come from. We're made in the image of God. We're children of who he is. But then he's the king. He's identifying as the king who's here to build a kingdom. That's why he's come, to invite people to be part of that kingdom. Who am I? I'm a child of a king. I'm part of this kingdom that Jesus came to bring. That's who I am. And so Jesus presents to us an understanding of our relationship with him, because he is the king. And the Magi's gifts, of course, identified him with gold for a king, for frankincense for a priest, and then myrrh for this king priest who would give his life as a ransom for many. This is who Jesus is, and it's part of our story to follow in his footsteps. But he's also a refugee. What am I doing here? This place is not our home. Yet we have to live here, feeling like strangers and aliens, settling here knowing that it is only temporary, living in exile but looking for and longing for home. Do you feel that? What am I doing here? It's not my home. This isn't the place that I'm finally going to settle in. There's something beyond this. And Jesus as refugee reminds us not only that we're in exile, but also the people of Israel were in exile for many, many years. Jeremiah 29 is the prophet's letter to the exiles, speaking God's word to those who are longing for home. He writes this in Jeremiah 29, verse 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from a captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Jesus is truly all things to all people, for all people, with all people. This is the story. Not only his story, but our story as well. But things have gone wrong. And that sense of wanting to be fully human reminds us that he is more than just a child, and more than just a king, and more than the refugee who identifies with all those who are far from home. And the Holy Spirit who hovered over the waters at the beginning overshadows a virgin, and a child is born to us, a son is given for us, and his name will be Emmanuel. So what is it that I truly need? How can I be fully human again? Well, Jesus came to be a savior. He came to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we can never become fully human on our own. Jesus came as Savior to heal the pain of separation that began in that garden and to welcome those in exile back home again. Matthew 1:21, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Why? Why do we need saving from our sins? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified, that is, they're put right with God freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. He'll be called Jesus because he will save us from our sins. He is the Savior who enables us to be fully human again, to get us back through that sense of separation and brokenness and exile into that place of freedom again, to be forgiven, to experience life in all its fullness. I wonder if he's who you need to encounter afresh today, to come to that place again of new beginnings, of opportunities, so that he can welcome you home. And that's what communion is for today for us. We don't need communion to ask for his forgiveness. We don't need it in order to be put right with him. But in this remembrance moment, this symbol of confession, of remembering his death and his resurrection, we too find this Savior who invites us home and who invites us on the journey that he's called us to. If you're a follower of Jesus today, then you are invited to gather around this table. But if you still haven't made a commitment yet to follow him, well, maybe today's the day. Today's the day that you realize what you need and you can receive it because of Jesus.